Now, the title of the message this morning is The Greatest Father of Them All. It's no secret that today is Father's Day. This is not like any message that I've ever preached on Father's Day since I've been with you. Completely different. I am not going to praise fathers, though I appreciate fathers who live for the Lord Jesus Christ, how greatly they are needed in their family. And neither am I going to tell earthly fathers how you can do a better job today. So I said, how are you going to preach a Father's Day message without doing that? Well, I'm going to talk about my Heavenly Father this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ often referred to God as my Father. But I found it interesting as I began to pray and search what I was going to preach on that our Lord Jesus Christ often in the Gospels referred to God as our Father or your Father when he was talking to his disciples. And, of course, one that you know well, it occurs several times in the Gospel. It's called the Lord's Prayer, but really that's a misnomer. It should be called the disciples' prayer because the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And you'll remember the opening words, whether you look at it in Matthew or whether you look at it in Luke or the version that's in Mark, it starts out, our Father, which art in heaven. He's talking to the disciples. Our Father. Again, if we were to look at Luke chapter 12, in fact, I'd like you to look at it either in the study notes or in your Bible. In Luke chapter 12, verse 29 through 32, it says, and seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And then it says this, and addressing the disciples, your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Our Father. Your Father. So, I'm going to begin at the natural place that I believe that we should begin, and that is how God can be your Father. How can God be your Father? Well, I want to tell you that none of us starts out with God being our Father. We start out in a completely different family. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us the family that we start out in. We start out in the family of sinners. And if you know it by heart, or you want to read it from the notes, read it with me. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I find it interesting. I see a little baby here in the auditorium with Mrs. Rusheski this morning, and you know, right now, the little baby is sweet, the little baby's sleeping, but I can tell you what, that little baby's a brat sometimes. Mom goes smile and, you know, nobody had to teach you how to sin. Nobody had to teach me how to sin. Nobody had to teach my children how to sin, my grandchildren how to sin, because they come from the family of sinners. Paul characterized all the children of the family of sinners in Romans or in Ephesians chapter 2 as children of disobedience and children of wrath. Figure that. You're not born with God being your father. You're born in the family of sinners. Ah, the Lord Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil. You see, I was, you were, everybody is born in the dominion of darkness. We're children of wrath, children of disobedience. We do our own thing. We do not seek after God on our own. We're estranged from God. We're away from God. So we do not have God as our Father. But that can all change. I had somebody tell me just recently, as you turn to John chapter 1 and verse 12, turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 12. I had somebody tell me the Bible never tells anybody that they have to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I beg your pardon. John 1:12 says this, but as many as receive Him, that's Jesus Christ, you can see that the context of that, the true light of the world, the Word, Jesus Christ, but as many as receive Him, Christ, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. See, the situation is we're all born sinners. We're all in the dominion of darkness. We're all in a different family. We're not in the family of God. We are in a heap of trouble. But that can all change if you're willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior by believing in Him. Now, I'm not just talking about an intellectual assent that, oh, yes, Jesus Christ lived, He died on the cross, and He rose again from the dead. Just understanding those facts does not save a person. You must personalize those facts, or the big word, you must appropriate those facts. What does it mean? Well, that means that you need to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You say, Lord Jesus Christ, save me! And believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The neat part about that is, at the instantaneously, as soon as someone puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon His name, believing in their heart, they are adopted into the family of God, the redeemed sinner. Actually, from that point on, has God as their Father. And all I can say about that is amen. Romans 8:15 talks about adoption, but we're not going to exposit that this morning. I'm just going to say that the word adoption in the New Testament means being placed as an adult son. So, when you come into the family of God at new birth, instantaneously, as soon as you come into that family, as soon as you're born into that family, God adopts us and gives us a position of an adult son or daughter in the family. You see, when my kids were little, they came into the world, they couldn't walk, they couldn't speak, they could cry, they couldn't make decisions, they couldn't draw on the family wealth. But as soon as the believer comes into the family of God, as soon as the sinner is born again, at that moment you're born again, you are placed as an adult son, adult daughter in God's family. God is your Father. He adopts you into the family. He does not do it just for a while. He does it for eternity. Sometimes, with God being my Father, I've been a bad son. But you know what? I'm still His son. Still His son. Sometimes you've been a bad son or a bad daughter, but still a son. You know, I don't exactly understand it, but in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man had the right to disavow his natural children, but an adopted child was a child for life. He or she could never be disavowed by the Father. I love John 10:28. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the time when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm thinking about the fact that I was placed in the Father's hand. And somebody has told me, well, I can lose my salvation because all I have to do is let go of God. That's a lie. Because we're placed in the Father's hand, and it is He who holds me. And nobody can get you out of the Father's hand. I say, praise God. I'm glad that God is my Father. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would urge you to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart today so that God can be your Father. My earthly father had his strengths and had his weaknesses, but my Father in heaven has none of those. It's just strengths that my Heavenly Father has. Now, once you become a child of God, God has and does some good things for His children. My Father promises to forgive. Now, while I've not been an extremely bad son to my Heavenly Father, I've been bad enough. You know, the Bible actually says, even though I've never killed anybody, I've never robbed anybody, I've never raped anybody, I've never, you know, a number of those big things, but you know what? You look at the Ten Commandments, bearing a false witness or lying, that, taking the Lord's name in vain, you know, whosoever offends in one point, the Bible says, is guilty of all. And I've broken some of the commandments of Christ and some of the commandments of God the Father. But you know what? I'm thankful that my Father promises forgiveness. Perhaps my favorite passage of Scripture in the Psalms is Psalm 103, 11 and 12. Turn with me to Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12, if you would. There's forgiveness with my Father. It says in Psalm 103 and verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth," look at this, "so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him." I'm going to stop there just for a minute. I am so grateful for the mercy of God. If I got what I deserve, friends, if you got what you deserve, friends, you know where you would be? You'd be burning in hell right now. You don't have to like that, but if we got what we deserve, that's where we would be. David knew that. David was a man of great heights for the Lord and great depths of sin. He said, "If God should mark iniquity, who shall stand?" It's a rhetorical question. That means the answer is understood. Who should stand? None of us. I am glad for the mercy of God. I think of some of the dumb mistakes I made with my kids through the years. Oh, brother. Certainly not a perfect parent. I'm thankful for the mercy of God, mercy of my children. But I'm thankful for the mercy of God. Because if we got what we deserved, we would be in a heap of trouble. Look at what happens to the believer's sin when they trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You know it. Verse 12. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God knows what he's talking about. As a philosopher said, east never meets west. So listen, friends, when God is your Father, in relationship to condemnation, all of your sins in the past, all of your sins that you've done this week up to this day, all of your sins in the future, your sins past, present, and future, were taken out and nailed to His cross. They are gone. He got our trash. We got His treasure. Man, if that doesn't ring your bell, you're missing a clapper. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, naturally, you need to stay in fellowship with God. Sonship issue is not an issue. All those things have been taken care of. But you can be a bad son. You can be a bad daughter. So how do you get in fellowship with God? I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9. As you know, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? We can stay in fellowship with God. Number two, I got to move along. My Father promises availability. Sometimes, in the past, I wasn't available to my children. I was gone. I was busy preparing my sermon and didn't want to be interrupted. I wasn't available. And sometimes my children would tell you that I wasn't approachable even if I was available. But I'm thankful my Heavenly Father's not like that. Man, God, my Heavenly Father, is offering me to come into His presence any time that I want to. I have an open invitation. You have an open invitation as a child of God, where our Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The advantage of availability of our Heavenly Father is that He never tires of your coming to Him. Somebody said to me some time back, it's just a petty thing. I don't want to bother God with petty things. Bother God with petty things because it's not a bother. We need wisdom. We'll deal with that later, but you can rush into the presence of the Lord. I remember one of the kids, and I don't remember who I'm studying away because the study used to be in the house, and they come running, Daddy, 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 Daddy. They come rushing into the presence, and you know, I go, wrong thing to do. Wrong thing to do. You know what that means? And then, so, oh, I'm sorry, Daddy. Stupid dad. Should have just set the stuff down and said, yes, child, what do you need? But I'm telling you, I'm promising you, you can rush into the presence of the Lord. He wants you to rush into the presence of the Lord any second you feel that you need to talk with Him. Amen. Availability. And not just availability, but approachability. I love my Heavenly Father because of that. I have to tell you, I rushed into the presence of the Lord no less than a half a dozen times this past week over things where I was exasperated in my own flesh. Saying, oh, again. My Heavenly Father promises to show compassion. Turn with me to Psalm 103:13. Understand it's a little difficult to understand the word. I'm going to explain it. It says, like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. When we think of pity, we do not have the biblical idea of pity. So what does pity mean? Biblically, the word pictures deep concern, sympathy, and understanding felt for someone who has been struck with affliction or encountered a problem accompanied with the desire to relieve their distress. That's what it is. Oftentimes, as an earthly father, I have had a desire to relieve my children's distress. Sometimes I can, and sometimes it is beyond me. But our Heavenly Father is different. The desire to relieve our distress is shown many times in the Scripture, and perhaps my favorite is Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. My wife and I were just talking earlier this week, and if it were not for our Heavenly Father's strength, I don't believe we could have made it through the last days of my dad's suffering. He indeed was our refuge and our strength during those last months. And I want you to know what 2 Corinthians 1:3 says. So I want you to turn there, because as I was going over this message and praying about it this morning, this popped into my head. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says this, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations. But look at this. Look at this. Every now and then, I have referred people to different ones of you in the congregation. And I beg my oldest daughter's pardon, but my wife has never had a miscarriage, but my oldest daughter has. And a while back, there was a lady who had had a miscarriage, and the God of all comfort helped my daughter through it. And so I referred that lady to my daughter, because look at this, who is able to comfort us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I am thankful that I have a Father who shows compassion and comforts me in the deep waters of my life. Number four, my Father promises wisdom. Too many times I find that my human wisdom just gets me in trouble. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, I really do want to make the right choices. It's better all the way around if we do it from someone who has the broad perspective, that's the Lord. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, my Heavenly Father has wisdom with dealing with life situations. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points just like I am, yet without sin. Jesus has gone through it all. Lynn and I had a decision I had to make by Monday, just to get real personal. It was a health-related decision, and everything seemed real good. It was kind of like a sell job from the doctor and so on and so forth. And it isn't like I have major health problems. I have some ongoing health problems with type 2 diabetes that I still want to keep control of. But anyway, and it would have been very pricey. And so, you know, I'm thinking in my head, weighing what he said and looking at all this kind of stuff. Eh, that doesn't sound too bad. And in light of the rest of your life, oh, that doesn't sound too bad. And because I told the guy I wasn't going to make the decision. I needed time to pray about it. So I went out of there and started discussing this and didn't pray about it. Duh! And so finally I wised up. See, a preacher's stupid too. I mean, we fall into the same... Don't kid yourself. This message is just as much for me. In fact, I prepared this message pretty much for me, and you're just getting the remnant, you know. But we started really praying about it. We really started praying about it. And God opened up the door, and there was another one real close to me who... It's funny. Things came about the right time after I'd been able... I was so busy, I hadn't done the research that I wanted to do, and I'd prayed to God and asked wisdom, and all of a sudden it came together for me, and another person... And, man, the great part about it is when you ask wisdom of the Lord, and I made the decision, but what came over me was the peace of God that passes all understanding. I want to tell you, if you need wisdom, now there's safety in a multitude of counselors. Certainly get the input from godly Christian people or experts in the field or whatever, but do not forget to ask your Heavenly Father, because He promises to give you wisdom if you ask. But some of us are too proud or too stupid, in my case, to ask. I'm using all this human wisdom and weighing things here and saying, yeah, I would like to do this. I would like to drop down easily, eat more, and be 200 pounds. I mean, it falls right off, right, Pastor Longstein? It's just easy. You should have seen him at the ordination. You wouldn't know. He's half the man that I met at the ordination. But anyway, you talk, I mean physically, okay? I mean, you could have strapped me to him, and that would have been about the size. But anyway, I'm not making fun of that. It's not easy. But I was using human wisdom, and the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And I started looking at the things that I taught, and there was key words that was coming up, and I'm going, But here's the deal. God is the reservoir of wisdom, and He wants to impart it into His children if they will ask. Ask and ye shall receive. And I'm here to tell you that I asked, and I'm here to testify that despite my sin of not asking soon enough, when I did ask, I did receive. But you know, ye have not because ye ask not. Thank you. Heavenly Father. I got a great Heavenly Father. He promises wisdom. And here's number five. My Father promises to supply my needs. Philippians chapter 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Our Heavenly Father has obligated himself to supply the necessities of life. This would include food, clothing, and shelter. It does not include the multiplicity of luxuries that we come to think of as needs. How could I live without this? You know what? I did it for years and years and years and years. This is a luxury and not a need. I know you might argue with me, but this is a luxury and not a need. Food, shelter, and clothing. And I say, what are you saying about, preacher? Well, I like the way that David of old said it in Psalm 37:25. "I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not. Let me get it right. "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Let me just tell you something. If you're going and blowing your money and you're going and buying memberships to this and going and doing that, and don't accuse God of not supplying your need when you're not being a wise steward or using your money righteously. I had a Christian say, I'm just so behind. I don't know how I ever dig out. I said, did you stop going to the casino? How did you know that, Pastor? A little bird told me. And the husband. And then you expect God to, you spend all the money playing on the one-armed bandit or whatever it is that they do there. Oh, that's not supplying my need. Well, that's a bald-faced lie. Now I want to tell you something. When I started out in the ministry, there were sometimes literally, Linda tried, and I have asked my wife to keep the books because she was a banker, and she does a much better job with money than I do, but Linda would try and give me $2 a week for money, which would include putting some gas in my truck. That was when gas was cheaper, understand. But I would usually have about a buck left, you know. But you know what we did for family night on occasion? Sometimes for family night, we had popcorn and ice water. My poor warped children over there. Popcorn and ice water. Granted, they did wear a lot of hand-me-downs, and when you're an assistant pastor, you know, the people give you the clothes, and we're grateful for it. My wife was a garage sale specialist, as are my daughters now. But I want to tell you, there's not a one in my family that has to have begged for bread. Because God promises to provide our need, not our wants. The thing of it is, Lynn and I were talking, I have all my needs provided and most all my wants. And all I can say is glory be to God. But don't thinking, we were talking the other day, you know, we're going to go from 3 cell phones in a while because I have a business cell phone, a personal cell phone, and she has a personal cell phone. And there'll come a time when the income flow changes, and I'm trusting that I'm going to be able to have one cell phone that will be my regular number. I'm not planning on having a hard line, a hardwired line at that point. But nobody. I know that some of you have tight finances. But when you seek to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe what David has said is true. He's been young and now he's old, and he's yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm just saying, my God has provided our needs and beyond that in all of my life. My parents were not rich. But you know what? I never remember missing a meal. I always had clean clothes. My mother made bread. I've given this hint I don't know how many times, but anyway. I got to quit, but I'm going to number 6. My father promises to help in overcoming temptation. You know, we got 3 enemies, and if you don't realize you have 3 enemies, you're just fooling yourself. We have the enemy of the world, and 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17 talks about that. That's the ungodly system that leaves the devil out, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, all those things that are there. We have the enemy of the flesh, that's the old nature. That's the one that kicks up the most for me. And then we have the devil, who is our adversary. And the strategy of the devil and his diabolical horde is to cause the believer to wreck their testimony so that they can be no good to the cause of Christ. So the people are going to blaspheme and mock the name of Christ. But God promises in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Other people have faced it. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. One of the reasons many believers yield to temptation is that we are like the little boy in the pantry. You know what a pantry is? That's where my mom used to store a lot of the food and things. Some people don't have pantries. I know Sarah's got a pantry, and I think Carla has a pantry. I don't know whether she does or not, but a pantry is where you would store things. His mother heard a noise because the boy had taken down the cookie jar. And she said, "Billy, where are you?" And he said, "Oh, Mom, I'm in the pantry." And Mom said, "What are you doing there?" And he said, "I'm fighting temptation. I'm fighting temptation." My friends, that is not the place to fight temptation. The place that he was in was to start running away from the cookies. Instead of toying with temptation, we need to look to God for a way of escape. And then when he reveals it, and he will, you need to take advantage of it. But so many Christians got the cookie jar in their hand. I'm fighting temptation. I'm so thankful for my Heavenly Father. He's the greatest Father of them all. He is my Heavenly Father. And I hope that He is yours too. If He's not, you could remedy that this morning. Remember where I started? But as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.